Okay, good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Beshalach, Tavshin Pei. We begin on page 366 at the beginning of the Parsha. Vayi Beshalach Parei Esa'am, and it was when Paro sent out the nation, V'leinochem Eloikim Derech Aretz Plishtim, Hashem did not lead them by way of the land of the Plishtim, Kikar Rav Hu, because it was close. Ki Amar Eloikim, for Hashem said, Pen Yinochem Ha'am, perhaps the people will reconsider, when they see war, Mitzrayim, they will return to Mitzrayim. Okay, so the pasuk says, Paro, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of the Plishtim, Kikaravu, for it was close. What was it close to? So let's see Rashi. Rashi tells us, Kikaravu, V'noyach loshuv ba'isei haderech leMitzrayim. And it was close and easy to return by that way to Egypt. So he didn't lead the Jewish people by way that the Plishtim, because it was close, meaning it was close to returning to Mitzrayim, it was close to Mitzrayim, it would have been easy to return to Egypt. And Ki Amar Lekim, for Hashem said, Pen Yinochei Ma'am, perhaps they shall reconsider, Barisam Melchama, when they see war, war with who? War with the Plishtim. The assumption is that as they're going to pass by the land of Plishtim to get to where they have to go, the Plishtim are not going to let them go by peacefully. They're going to attack them. And when the Jewish people are attacked, they're going to return to Egypt. And therefore, Hashem did not leave them in the way by which it would be easy to return to Mitzrayim if they would see war with the Plishtim. Okay? Or actually, coming to think of it right now, Rashi doesn't say it's war with the Plishtim. It just says, by going through the land of the Plishtim, it'll be easy for them to go back to Mitzrayim. And if they see war, then it'll be easy for them to return to Mitzrayim. Rashi actually doesn't say who the war would be with. Actually, Rashi brings down something that we find later in Parashat Shlach, that when there was a war with the Amalek and the Kanani, there was a war after the Chena Meraglim, when the Jewish people were decreed that they cannot enter the land of Israel, and there were a group of them, Apilim, those who refused to listen and went into Eretz Israel anyway, thinking they had repented for what they had done wrong and they could go conquer the land of Israel. And as they went, and they were attacked. So the concern was, is that if the Jewish people would now land up going by way of the Plishtim and seeing war, which war? Again, now that I realize it, Rashi doesn't say which war. He does quote does use an example of a war later. But again, that's not the war that was right now. That was a war that was closer when they were actually right by Eretz Yisrael. But if they come and find and come to war, again, I think the pshat here is that by way of the Plishtim, they would, I don't know, I just realize now that I'm not going to be clear here in Rashi. But Rashi is learning that the point is that the path by the Plishtim was a way that would be easy to get back to Mitzrayim. If the Jewish people would find war, they would return. And we find that later on, by the Meraglim, after the Meraglim, and the Jewish people get the report of how difficult it is to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, they say, let's turn around and go back. And at that point, they were already far into the desert. They were already far away from Egypt. And they still said, let's turn back. So if at that point, when they were so far, they said, let's turn back. So therefore, if they were closer to Egypt, they would have said, let's turn back. And therefore, instead of Hashem taking them through the path that was closer to Egypt, he took them through the path that was further away from Egypt. And apparently, this path with the Plishtim was the straighter path to wherever they had to go. Now, the first stop was going to be Har Sinai to get the Torah, and then from there they can continue to Eretz Yisrael. And it would seem that that path would have been done by the way of the Plishtim, which would probably mean that it was a straighter path to those areas by the land of the Plishtim. But since going to the land of the Plishtim was also close to Egypt, if there be any kind of war, it would be easier for them to go back to Egypt. Therefore, Hashem took them in a more indirect route, a route that took them into the desert, deeper into the desert, which therefore minimized the temptation or the possibility or the desire of the Jewish people to turn back if they would land up seeing some kind of war.
Because Hashem didn't trust them.
Hashem saw them. Hashem saw where they were at. And right now, where they were there at, they were not at that point to be able to do that. Now, so again, Rashi is learning Kikar of who, for it is close, is going on the fact that going, by the way, the Plishtim is close to is a direction that's close to Egypt, making it easier to return to Egypt, and therefore Hashem takes them in a different route that takes them further away from Egypt, so that if they see war, they will not easily feel the easy way to return back to Mitzrayim. Ramban says the following. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and he asks on Rashi that if Ki Karav Hu was going on, as Rashi says, it's close to Mitzrayim, so then he has a problem. He has a problem as to the words Ki Amar Elokim, for Hashem said, perhaps the nation will regret when they see war. So according to Rashi, it comes out like this. The Pasuk tells us Hashem did not lead them away to the Plishtim because it was the close way to get back to Mitzrayim. And then it says, because Hashem said, maybe the nation will regret. Says the Ramban, according to Rashi, it should say like this. Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of Plishtim. Ki Amar Elokim, for Hashem said, it's close to Egypt, and perhaps when they see war, they'll regret and turn back. Ki Karavu, according to Rashi, is part of the whole idea that if they see war and it's easy to go back to Mitzrayim, they'll go back to Mitzrayim. That's the reason why Hashem is not leading them by way of the Plishtim. So if so, when the Torah tells us what Hashem is thinking, what Hashem is saying, it should say that before the words Kikaravu, because that's part of his reasoning why not to take them. And therefore the Ramban learns differently. The Ramban learns like this. The Ramban says, V'nachem elekim derecharetz Plishtim, Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of Plishtim. Ashehu karei v'toiv l'rchaisem b'derech ahi. For that would have been the closer and easier path by which to go. Kikarav hu means the land of the Plishtim. Hashem did not lead them by the land of the Plishtim. Why would he have led them by the land of Plishtim? Kikarav hu. Because it's the closer way to get to where they have to go. So it's not going on the idea of going back to Egypt. It's explaining why would have Hashem wanted to have taken them by the Plishtim? Why would the way of the Plishtim have been the first way to go? The answer is Kikaravu, because it was the closer path to where they wanted to go to.
So what about this reconsider business?
Well, so, but the answer is, still, but Hashem said, no, you're not going to go that way, lest the nation reconsider when they see war and return to Egypt because of the war. Since they're going to have to buy and pass the land of the Plishtim, and the Plishtim are not going to let them go peacefully, the Plishtim are the ones going to wage war with them, and that will now create the desire for them to go back to Egypt. Avamaderech HaMidbar, but now if they don't go through, if they don't go by way of the land of Plishtim, meaning they don't go the inhabited route, they go by way of the desert, okay. They go by the way of the desert of Abaderech Hamid Valira Melchama, but by way of the desert, they're not going to see war. At a Yisim Ba'artzam Eretz Sichad Ba'id Melachai Mayri Shehinasuna Lahem Ruchaykim Mitzrayim Ba'isahi. If they go by way of the desert, then they shouldn't meet up with any other kind of hostile nation until they basically get to the border of Eretz Yisrael and they get to the land of Sichad No. So we're trying. Hashem is trying to keep the Jewish people away from war, because if they, that's the Ramban's learning. Try to keep them away from war. Even though the land of the Plishtim would have been the closer way to get where they had to go, the problem by taking them by the land of the Plishtim was the Plishtim would not let them pass by peacefully, and that would now give them reason to want to go back to Mitzrayim, which is what we do see later on by the Meraglim, that when they realize they have to face a difficult nation, they said, let's turn back. Now, by taking them Derech HaMidbar, now by taking them by way of the desert, so now they're going in an uninhabited area. They're not going to go ahead and meet up any other nations that are going to bother them. And they'll be okay. Now, eventually they're going to have to meet up with these nations. As we see by the Meraglim, they did have to face these people. But at least at this point, Hashem is trying to delay that. At this point, Hashem does not want it to happen. As soon as they leave Egypt, Hashem doesn't want them to have to face that challenge. And therefore, says the Ramban, even though the land of the Plishtim was the closer way to get where they wanted to go, Hashem says, the problem is, they're going to pass by the Plishtim, they're going to be attacked, and then they're going to want to turn around to go to Mitzrayim. So it's not a question of how close is it to get back to Mitzrayim. The point is, if they're going to meet up, if they're going to have to face war, they're going to go back. So therefore, I'm taking them through a path by which they won't meet up with war, and therefore, they'll have no desire to go back. But then the Ramban asks, but we do know that they did fight a war before. They did fight a war in the desert. Which war was that? Amalek. At the end of this week's parsha, Amalek fought them in the desert. And we don't find that they said, oh, no war, let's turn around and go back.
Well, that was the first war. Maybe after that they realized how bad it is.
Yeah, but Hashem didn't want them to face the first war here by the Plishtim.
But it was here, that's right.
Right? So what happened by Amalek? So Ramban says, Umelchemes Amalek b'refidim l'hais v'yoloshu ba'avura. The war with Amalek in Rephidim, again, this week's parsha, wasn't going to be a reason to return because of it. The Jewish people didn't pass by Amalek. He came from his land to attack the Jewish people because he hated them. So they'll decide, we're going back to Mitzrayim. What's going to help? He's still going to go after them on the way. Okay, so therefore, the first point is that if the question is, if we're saying that once they meet war, once they have to face war, they're going to turn back to go back to Egypt, what happened by Amalek? We don't find they did that then. The answer is, because turning back, going back to Egypt is not going to help them by Amalek. Because Amalek came because he hated them, and he would have attacked them on the way too. Wouldn't it make a difference turning around? It's not going to deter him. That's one answer. And then he says, at that point of time, the Ramban's second explanation is, at that point of time, they were so deep into the desert, they couldn't find their way back. So therefore, the Ramban is learning that Hashem takes him a different path to avoid war. Okay, so both Rashi and the Ramban, both are dealing with the same kind of explanation, which is that if the Jewish people meet up with war, in whatever form it is, as they are passing now, as they are leaving Egypt and going to where they have to go, if they're going to see war, they're going to say, let's go back to Mitzrayim. That is how Rashi and the Ramban learn. But the Sefernu has a different explanation. Very different explanation. It's very interesting. Even though Hashem's intention was to lead the Jewish people to Har Sinai, to receive the Torah, and from there to continue to the land of Israel, as Hashem told them, I shall take you for me as a nation, which is referring to the giving of the Torah, and then I will bring you to the land. That means the plan was, take you for a nation with the Torah, and then bring you to the land. Nonetheless, now Hashem's intent was really to take them to the Yamsuf, to the sea, to the Reed Sea, which really was not on the way to any of these two places. Why was Hashem doing that? To drown the Egyptians. That was the point. The straight path, v'hakotzer, and the shortest, v'leches v'mitzrayim liyamsuf, to go from Egypt to the Yamsuf, haya derech eretz plishtim, was by the way of the plishtim. That was the shortest route. Going from Mitzrayim to the Yamsuf, the closest way to get, the quickest way to get there is by way of the land of the plishtim. Omar, the Torah tells us, shakel yisbarach loy rotza lahan chaysem v'yisei haderech. Hashem did not want to lead them on that path. He karev hu, for it was close. Mipnei shaya oisei haderech v'saif v'ikarev l'mitzrayim. Because that entire path was close to Egypt. The Yerbu Oivei Derech Sham. And there were many travelers from Egypt going back and forth on that road. Umagide Misham le Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim le Sham. And they would tell people from there, Umagide Misham, and they would tell from there to Egypt, from Egypt to there. Meaning, there's a lot of people from Egypt going back and forth. There are a lot of people going from and to Egypt on that path. And because of so many people going in and out of Mitzrayim on that path, news gets around. The news in the area gets around from Egypt to the path, from the path to Egypt. And therefore, v'hinei b'reis emelchama. And therefore, the Jewish people see war. Which war? B'shamam, when they hear, shayachin paro yes atzmer, their dayf achareyem, when they hear that Par is preparing to come chase after them, Imkol Chaylim, his entire army, and how are they going to hear about that? Because they're on the path that's close to Egypt, so they're going to hear the news, they can hear what's going on. The Yenochei Ha'am, Belisavik, Mehiras Melcham Tam, Yishim Mitzrayim. When they hear Par is coming after them, they're going to throw up their hands and surrender and just go back to Egypt. And therefore he took them on a path that no one passes, no one travels on that path. And therefore they won't hear about what's happening, that Par is coming after them. So the Sephornu learns that the process here is the following. Really, what's happening is supposed to be as Hashem promised them, take them out of Mitzrayim, give them the Torah at Sinai, and then continue to Eretz Yisrael. That's the way it's supposed to be. But actually, there's one more stop to make before that. And that is to complete the exodus from Egypt, to complete the redemption from Egypt, and that is for the Jewish people to go to the Yam Suf, the Egyptians to chase them, be drowned in the Yam Suf, and that's the end of their doubt. That's the finality of the redemption from Egypt. Okay? That's the finality of the redemption from Egypt. So now, the quickest path to go from Egypt to the Yam Suf is by way of the Plishtim. That is the quickest path. The problem is that path is Karev. It's close to Egypt. And news gets from Egypt to that path and that path to Egypt. If the Jewish people will be passing that way to get to the Yam Suf, and Parah sees them going to the Yam Suf, we know Parah has a change of heart and he goes chasing after them. If the Jewish people would hear that Parah is doing that already when they're on the path, they're going to say, forget it, we give up, we're turning back. Therefore, Hashem takes them by way of the desert, where there is no traveling in between Egypt and that area of the desert. They're not going to hear news what's happening in Mitzrayim, and therefore, when Parah decides to chase after them, they're not going to hear about it to say, let's go back. Hashem really wants them to be surprised by Parah. He doesn't want them to be scared by Parah. Which would cause them to go back. He wants them to be surprised by Parah, not be able to go back, and then eventually to drown the Egyptians. So according to the Sephornu, the explanation here, the war here is not a war it's not a new war with some other nation they're going to face as they travel out of Egypt. The war means the war that Parah wants to wage with them to get them back to kill them because they left Mitzrayim, to get them back to come back to Mitzrayim. That's the war they're going to hear. And how are they going to hear about it? If they go by way of the Plishtim, they're going to hear about it because it's in the vicinity of Egypt and there are people going back and forth letting people know what's going on. Therefore, Hashem took them a different path so that they shouldn't know about that war and therefore they won't go back to Mitzrayim.
So the question is, it sounds like Hashem sent them the way where nobody walks.
That's what it seems, yeah.
Well, then how would the Pharaoh know where they are to chase after them?
Because Rashi does say he sent spies along. It's not like he couldn't track them and do it. It's just that it wasn't a traveled area to say that news gets back and forth. Okay. So we have the Ramban and we have the Sephornu. Now I want to share with you what the Rabbeinu Bachaya says on this pasuk, again regarding this. He adds a couple of different points. Now, he starts up like this. You know, the pasuk reads, again, Hashem did not lead them by way of the land of the Plishtim, for it was close. Ki amar lekim, for Hashem said, pen yinochem ha'am. Now, what is that? How do we translate those words? Pen yinochem ha'am. So the article translates as, perhaps the people will reconsider. There's an obvious question. Perhaps? There's a perhaps by Hashem? Hashem has a perhaps? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Bachaya speaks out, Ein Safek Klal BeHaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no doubt by Hashem. Shrei Yodei HaYaki Yinochem Ha'am Milichem HaDerech HaKarav. Baruch Shalom knows they're going to turn back. If he takes them the closer path, they're going to turn around and go back. The way to explain the word pen means, we would say in English, lest. Lest the nation reconsider. Meaning so that the nation doesn't reconsider. So that's how he explains the word pen. It doesn't mean perhaps, but it means lest, or so that it does not happen. And he shows other places where we have that kind of wording. Okay, now, Baraisa Melchama, when they see war. So he doesn't say, they're made of a chaya, doesn't say which war, but he seems to be learning like the Ramban and like Rashi, and he says, although they saw war, even when they went through the desert by Amalek, so you see, he is going with the same approach as the Ramban. So he answers, he gives the Ramban's answer, that's his second answer, and the first thing he just says is, the war with Amalek was not worthy, was not going to be enough of a reason for them to return because of it to Mitzrayim. Doesn't elaborate on that one. Then he brings down the Ramban, the Jewish people didn't pass by them, but rather they came from afar because they wanted to basically attack the Jewish people for the miracles that happened to them. That's really the second answer of the Ramban. That again, the Jewish people weren't passing by them that should bring on the war. They came to attack them. And therefore, like the Ramban's second answer, the Rebbeinu Bar Chaim would be saying that, there's nothing to gain. If they're coming to attack them, there's nothing to gain from turning around. The first answer he says is, the war with Amalek wasn't enough of a reason to return. Sounds like it just wasn't such a major war. You know, it wasn't a war that was so easily won by the Jewish people, as we know, but it wasn't such a major, it didn't scare them so much that it should turn them back. That's his first day. That's who he's answering. So he's saying, although he's learning like Ramban and Rashi that Hashem doesn't want to take them by way of lands that can engage them in war, and the question then is, but Malek engaged them in war. They didn't say let's turn around. So the first answer the Rebbeinu Bar Chaya says is that seems to be saying that just wasn't the kind of war that would frighten them to turn back around and go back. Then rings the other answer is that they didn't bring on the war by passing them. It was Amalek who came out to attack them. Okay, now, then he brings down from Rabbeinu Chananel the following. Because Rabbeinu Chananel zal, Shohilicham derech hamidbar lasiba acheres. Hashem led them by way of the desert, meaning not by way of the Plishtim, but by way of the desert, for a different reason. V'hi kadei laharbais lahem oiseis umayfsim. In order to increase wonders and signs. Ki'ilu ha'ilicham derech eretz plishtim akarev. Would Hashem have led them by way of the closer way of the land of the plishtim? V'yitin HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'libam, and HaKadosh Baruch will put in their hearts, shit'u lehem b'shus lavar derech artsam, that the plishtim would give them permission to pass by, shol ya'akva yisam klal, and they wouldn't stop them at all. Haya ha'ais kal. That miracle would be very easy. Would be very light. And therefore Hashem's infinite wisdom demanded to make them go in a more roundabout route by way of the desert, so that the signs of miracles should be very great. The Yeridas Haman, with the man coming down, Valias Haslav, and the quail coming, Vaitzas Mayim Menatsur, and the water coming out from the rock. The further they are from civilization, their ability to survive there becomes a greater and greater miracle. So the Rebbeinu Chananel is saying like this, again, reading the words. He says, Rebbeinu Chananel says a different reason why to take them the way that pushed them. And that is, in order to increase the miracles, in order to give a chance for more miracles to occur for the Jewish people, which he'll explain why that's important. But he's saying, if Hashem would have taken them by the Plishtim, and Hashem would have made it that the Plishtim shouldn't fight a war with them, the Jewish people still wouldn't. If that would happen, okay, there's no war. There's nothing to scare them. But then they're not going to have the ability to experience all the miracles that they would have if they would have to go into the desert. Because survive in the desert is really impossible for a nation to survive in the desert. And therefore, they'd have to see the miracles of the man, and of the quail, and of the water. And if they would peacefully pass by the land of Plishtim, which is the closer path by which to get to where they had to go, they wouldn't have any problems. There wouldn't be any big deal. Yeah, there would have been a miracle, it would seem. He calls it a wonder that the Plishtim would, let's say, let them go. That would be a wonder. But that would be one little wonder. It wouldn't be like all the other miracles that they would need by going through the desert. And Hashem wanted them to experience those miracles. So I'm a little bit troubled by this. Just why is Rabbeinu Chananel find it necessary to give a reason different than what the Chumash did? But I think what he's doing is he's answering a question. He's saying like this. The Torah tells us at the end of the day, why didn't the Jewish people go by the way of the Plishtim, which would have been the way to go? Because the Plishtim would have attacked them. Okay? But if you'll ask me, if it's so important for the Jewish people to get to where they have to go, and Hashem doesn't want them to go back to Mitzrayim, let's do a miracle. Jewish people had plenty of miracles, leaving Mitzrayim and getting to where they had to go. Let's do a miracle. Let the Plishtim all of a sudden love them, or let the Plishtim not attack them, and they won't have any problems. Says the Rabbeinu Chananel, because there's going to be another problem. Or that, because if they don't, because if Hashem does that miracle of the Plishtim not attacking them, then they'll experience one small miracle, and they'll lose out on the greater miracles that they could experience. So Rabbeinu Chananel, see what the Rabbeinu Bachaya calls Rabbeinu Chananel's other reason is really complementing what the Torah says. The Torah is talking about what was the reality. The reality was the Plishtim are going to attack them. That's the reality. That's the reality. If you'll ask, well, maybe Hashem should do a miracle, as he would do for the Jewish people in the desert, and allow them to pass by peacefully. Well, the answer is, if he does that, so then it comes out that they won't experience all the miracles. Therefore, instead of changing the Plishtim, instead of doing a miracle of changing the Plishtim, he leaves the Plishtim as they are. And then it comes out that the reason the Jewish people can't go by way of the Plishtim is because of war. That forced them to go to the desert, and now they can experience everything they had in the desert. Plus, not have to worry about being attacked.
Well, but it's a nice explanation, because as we discussed in the beginning, Hashem felt that they're not ready. Well, to get ready, they need more time and more miracles and more experience with Hashem, so that gave them the opportunity to do so. So in a sense, he was preparing them for eventually giving them the Torah.
Right. But if you think about it, when they got to Eretz Yisrael, what happened?
What happened?
The Meragim came back with a bad report, and at the end they backed out. So you know, a big part of them weren't ready. That doesn't mean that all the lessons that until then were a waste. Right? It doesn't mean that. Like when you know, it was bothering me. I didn't mention this question before, but it was bothering me that, you know, it says Hashem said. As the Pasuk says, according to Rashi and the Ramban, Hashem doesn't lead them away to Plishtim, because if there's war, they're going to turn back. And Rashi says, we find later on that's what happened. So, if that's what we find later on, so what are you gaining now? What was gained? At the end, they did say, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So what did you gain by not having it happen now? So the answer would be, like Rabbeinu Chananel, excuse me?
Maybe fewer of them wanted to go back.
But it didn't help. That's what I'm saying. It didn't help. Seemingly didn't help. Again, you know, it seemingly didn't gain anything. Well, the answer is going to be, either like you're saying, whatever way you want to say it, the answer, according to Rabbeinu Chananel helps us say, well, the answer is that what do you gain is the experience of the miracles, that even if it didn't help them get into Eretz Yisrael, it was still part of the training of the Jewish people to eventually, for the next generation, to enter Eretz Yisrael. But it was all part of what the Jewish, it was all part of that experience that they were going to have in the desert. Okay. And then Rabbeinu Chananel continues with this theme about the fact that that Hashem wanted to, where basically when there's a choice of a small miracle or a big miracle, when it comes to those who are deserving, Hashem is going to do the big miracle. This is the way of Hashem when He does miracles with the righteous. He does a miracle within a miracle. In order to make the sign and the lesson greater. And he brings examples. We know that Daniel, was thrown into a lion's den. And the miracle was, the lions just, you know, didn't bother him. Now, Hashem could have had him be thrown into the lion's den. And what happens to all the lions? They drop dead. You know, could have done that too. Which maybe you're going to say, well, you know, if the lions would kill him, right? So, have the lions all die. The answer is, it's a great miracle if the lions don't die and they just kind of cuddle up to the Nile. Not just not only that he doesn't get killed by the lions because they die, he remains alive while they're alive. It's a bigger miracle. It sanctifies, it makes Hashem's name greater. Another example from Tanakh, by Gideon. Gideon fights a war against a huge Midianite army. With how many men? 300. With 300 men. Hashem, and we see that basically he whittled down, his whole army was whittled down to a smaller number, and a smaller number, and a smaller number. You know, there could have been a bigger number, and it still would have been a miracle. But Hashem made the miracle even bigger. Because for those, for the righteous, for those who are worthy of it, Hashem will make a greater miracle, because by making the greater miracle, it makes the greater impression of Hashem, of Hashem's greatness. And then he says, V'daki kol inyonei Yisrael u'mikreyam b'midbar. Everything that happened to the Jewish people in the desert, hakolo yonisayin gomer, it was all a great test, a great challenge. Kedei shigdalu, shigdei, shigadlu nafsham asichlis, madregis habitochen. In order to allow their souls to grow in levels of trust in Hashem. Shusheresh Ramuna, which is the root, which is the basis for our faith. Kadesh Shiru'uyim Lakabel HaTorah, so as to be able to be worthy of receiving the Torah. Well, the Siba Zuk, excuse me?
Which we discussed.
Right, he's just saying that, he's saying that, not that, and he's elaborating on that. Ula Siba Zuk, Kara Lehemes Hayam, Midei Avram Lasechai. And this is why Hashem split the sea for them. As they pass through v'leibabas achas, not only in one shot, meaning he's following that it wasn't just all of a sudden the whole sea split. As the Jewish people entered, where they went, the waters parted. It is more of a miracle when that's happening than when it just all of a sudden the whole thing opens up. Well, once it opens up, you just continue, right? No, this wasn't just opening up and continuing. This is continuous. Every step they take, it splits more and more. Also, after they left the Yamsuf, and they came to the desert, and they came to the place called Demara. Okay, he goes through all the different things. He says, for instance, the mun. The mun fell every single day. Didn't fall for a week, which also would have been a miracle, because on the contrary, it should be a challenge. Every single day there should be a challenge to them. And by being challenged, that is how their trust in Hashem grows. So again, getting back to the Yamsuf, right? If you're walking through the Yamsuf, right, and the water is splitting, right? But there's still water in front of you, you don't know what's happening to the next water. Now we all think, well, what's the big deal? If this water is split, then that water is split. Apparently, if we'd be there, maybe we wouldn't be so sure. Wouldn't it be such an easy thing to assume? Okay, so it becomes the miracle itself is preceded by a challenge, and the same thing with the mun. Every single day it falls, which means after one day you don't know what's happening tomorrow. You have no food for tomorrow unless it happens. So the miracles themselves, besides for the miracles themselves, meaning he's really adding more to what he said than before. Before he said, let's go through the desert in order to have the miracles. And now he's saying that even within the miracles, he calls it a miracle. Even within the miracle, Hashem makes the miracle even greater, because what Hashem really does is, Hashem is with the miracle still trying to test them, to test their trust in Hashem, so that each time they're faced with the challenge, and then Hashem responds, that now again instills in them another level, another lesson, and another level of putting their trust in Hashem. The more you keep getting challenged in your trust of Hashem, and the more you see Hashem respond, the more that actually builds within you the trust in Hashem. Therefore, everything that was happening in a way by which to build up the trust in Hashem. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that at the end, that says that the, we'll say it like this. At the end of the day, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, we have that Hashem is not taking them by the way of the Plishtim, which should have been an easier route to get to where they had to, because Hashem wanted them, because if you want to tell me, well, why did Hashem just make a miracle, as he did for the other times, make a miracle that the Plishtim won't start up with them? Pasuk says the Plishtim are going to make war, and therefore the Jewish people are going to turn back. So let Hashem not make them, instill in them a certain fear or a certain respect, and they won't start up with the Jewish people, and they won't have any problems. Why not do that? The answer is, if Hashem does that, then Hashem doesn't have it. Then they don't have the opportunity to experience all the miracles that they need in the desert to survive. And the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, when he has a chance to make a small miracle or a big miracle, he's going to make a big miracle. Because the big miracle becomes a greater sign for his existence and his greatness. Besides for that, or now taking that, that's one step. Another step, says Rabbeinu Hanano, is that everything that happened, all the miracles that happened in the desert, which were again there, of course, to teach the Jewish people of Hashem's greatness and existence, actually were miracles within miracles. The miracle could have happened in a simpler manner. Each miracle that they did experience in the desert could have happened in a simpler manner, but it didn't happen in a simpler manner because, again, to bring out, to instill within the Jewish people, to bring out, to teach them betachem, teach them trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there is the, if going by the Plishtim and the Plishtim not making a war would have been a small miracle. Hashem says, we're going to go for the big ones. As we go for the big miracles, even within those miracles, there are miracles. Even within those miracles are actually challenges by which miracles will answer those challenges of the Jewish people in the sense of responding to the challenge of what will they do next? What will be their, what can they do next? How are they going to survive next? That Hashem responds and shows them that their lives is in his hand. So those are a few of the comments that the Mefarshim here make on this whole idea of Hashem not taking them by the way of the land of the Plishtim. Now, if we follow Rashi and the Ramban, and even the Sefornu, there is, I believe, a very important lesson that comes from all of this. And you were touching on this before. And that is that Hashem did not, it seems we see here that Hashem did not want to put the Jewish people in a difficult situation. Now, even though we just heard in Chananel that Hashem put the Jewish people constantly in difficult situations in order for them to gain betachen, and one may say, well, you know, you just left Egypt. What are you scared of? You just left Egypt. Hashem just saved you. What are you scared of going by the way of the Plishtim? Hashem says, they're not ready for that. They're not ready for that. And therefore, they're not going this way. So you see that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that when it comes to a test, first of all, you see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when he tests us, it's going to test us in a way that we can handle a test. That's what it would seem. It's not going to give us a test that we can't handle.
Gentle introduction.
Right? He's not going to, or at least, he's not going to give us a test that we can't handle. That's number one. And if Hashem doesn't give us a test that we can't handle, then we shouldn't put ourselves in a situation of being tested. You see, from here, Hashem is not saying to the Jewish people, deal with it. If it's too much, it's too much. If it's too much, he doesn't give them the test. That should be a lesson to us, that we also have to be careful about testing ourselves, about putting ourselves in a situation where we're challenged. Because when that happens, you know, who knows if we're going to be able to withstand the challenge. In the same way, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't put us into a challenge that we couldn't handle. We shouldn't put others in that kind of a situation, like our children. You know, sometimes there's a question of, you know, dealing with a child, and you know, do you put a child in a situation of challenge or not? You know, you have to measure that, and you have to figure out, does it make sense? Is it appropriate? Should you put a child in a situation of challenge where they really can't handle the challenge? That's what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam did here. Seeing that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is saying the Jewish people aren't ready for this challenge. They're not ready for it, and therefore I'm not going to give it to them. So therefore, you know, we should see for ourselves not to put ourselves in a situation of challenge that we can't face, nor to put others, including our children, in that kind of situation. Okay, let's move on. Continue on. This is, let's read Pasuk Ches. Vayasev Elokim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf, and Hashem took the Jewish people in a roundabout way through the desert towards the yamsuf. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. The Jewish people went up from Egypt armed. Vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imoy. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Ki hashpia hishpias bnei Yisrael emar. For Yosef had sworn the Jewish people, saying, Pakoy yevkano lekim eschem, Hashem shall surely remember you. Valisim etzatzmos amizei etchem, you shall bring up my bones from here with you. So Moshe took the bones of Yosef, because Yosef had sworn the Jewish people before his death that when you eventually leave Mitzrayim, take my remains up with you. So Rashi comments, let's see Rashi's comment on this. Rashi says, Hashpea Hishbia. We have a double wording here. He swore he made them swear. Hishpea Hishbia really means he made them swear, he made them swear. Hishbiyam Sheyashbiyu B'neihem. He made that generation swear that they will make the next generation swear to make sure that eventually they'll keep it. So Rashi puts the question like this. Yosef makes the Jewish people make their descendants swear that when the time comes, they will all have sworn or promised to have taken Yosef out. Well, why did Yosef just leave right then and there when he died? Just like he got Yaakov buried in Egypt, out of Egypt, in Eretz Yisrael, if Yosef wanted to go, why didn't he go right away? The same way Yaakov tells his children, take me out, Yosef should have told his children, take me out. Amar Yosef, Yosef said, Ani shalat yisim b'mitzrayim, v'yasipik b'yadi l'aseis. I was a ruler in Egypt. I had the power to get it done. Avo bonai lo yanichu mitzrayim l'aseisa. My children, the Egyptians won't let them do it. L'kach hishbiyam l'shigalu, v'yetzu misham shisi'u. And therefore he made them swear that eventually when they leave, I'll take them out. Meaning, Rashi has a question. Yosef makes them swear to take them out when they leave. Why didn't he make his children swear right away to take them out when he first died? The answer is because, as we know, the Egyptians didn't want Yaakov to leave either. But Yosef, because he was a ruler and he had power, and he had power, he was able to get it done. But my children, says Yosef, who are not going to be power, they're not going to have any power, the Egyptians will never let them take me out. Therefore, he had to make the later generation swear to take him out. Okay, so that's how Rashi deals with that question of why didn't Yosef have him take him out right away. Now, next point. Moshe was the one who did this. So I'm going to ask you a question. Why was it Moshe? Why was Moshe the one who did it? I don't know. Yosef's family, Yosef's tribe. Says the Sefornu. Vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imay. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. B'yosei az nasi adar. Because he was the leader of the generation. Ki hashpe yashpi es b'nei Yisrael. Yosef swore, made the Jewish people swear. V'nei chiyav adar mutal al nasiyai. The generation's obligation is upon the response. If the generation has a certain obligation, who's responsible to make sure it gets done? The leader. That was Moshe. So Moshe is the one doing it because since this was a promise that the Jewish people were made to keep, like Yosef didn't just make a promise for his people, for his family, or to a shevet. He made the Jewish people as a whole. He put this as a responsibility of the whole Jewish people to make sure that his remains are taken out of Egypt. Well, if this was a national obligation, then the responsibility of the national obligation falls upon the leader. Take care of it. Okay, so that's why Moshe did it. Now, the Aruch Chaim focuses on the fact that the wording that's used is that Yosef made the Jewish people swear, saying, Pakod yifkad lekim eschem. Remember Hashem will remember you. Again, a double wording. Remember, he will remember. What's the double wording? So, Tama kefa lahatztik emunas hadavar. The reason why he's saying it twice is to basically confirm it. And this is the way to explain it. Pokoid, Pirish, Hapakida Shaftiach Hashem, the promise that Hashem, Hapakida Shaftiach Hashem, the remembrance that Hashem promised, Father Yifkoid, he's for sure going to remember. So Pokoid Yifkoid Hakim Hashem, remember, means the promise that Hashem made to remember, Yifkoid, he's going to remember. It's going to happen. Pokoid Yifkoid, that was what Yosef was telling the people when he made them swear. Pokoid Yifkoid, the promise that Hashem made to Avram that he's going to take you out, he's going to keep it. Don't worry. He was confirming. He was strengthening. It's going to happen. Then he says another explanation. And actually, this explanation is coming to explain why now, when the Jewish people, why now, well, actually, okay. Another thing is that Yosef is trying to allude by talking about, by saying the double wording, remember, remember, that Yosef is alluding to two rememberings. Meaning, when Hashem remembers you, you're going to gain two things. Number one, you're going to be taken out of slavery. And number two, Hashem promised Avraham, you're going to leave with great riches. Remember, he will remember. He will remember you to take you out of slavery, and he will also remember the fact that he promised that when you leave from slavery, you'll leave with great wealth. Why was that important for Yosef to have to remind them? Was he just doing this to make them feel better? Says Arachayim that the reason why he put this into the oath is because this was really, because Yosef was addressing a concern that he had. Yosef was concerned that knowing he knew this was going to happen, he knew that before the Jewish people were going to leave, they're going to have to gather riches. Because that's the promise, they're going to leave with riches. How do they leave with riches? They're going to have to gather it somehow. Okay? That means when they leave Egypt, they're going to be very busy gathering money. And Yosef's afraid they're going to forget about him. They're going to be so busy gathering money, they're going to forget about him. So therefore, when he's swearing, making them swear to remember to take him out, he says, Paka Yivkaid, Hashem is going to remember you to take you out of slavery. He's going to remember you to make sure you're rich. And Yosef is bringing that up now when he is telling them, and remember to take me out. He's saying, although Hashem is going to remember you and make you be rich, which means you'll be very busy gathering money and riches before you leave, remember you got to take me out. That's why he's alluding to it here when he's making them swear.
Could this be read as a conditioning? That is, if I want you to bring my bones out, and if you do, then God will remember you. No. Because
he would have said that, maybe he should have said that afterwards. What you want to explain is, Pako Yivka Hashem will remember you. Because you took me out of Egypt, because you took me out of Egypt? No one seems to interpret it that way. It could be because of the fact that it says it to start off with.
No, it just seemed to be totally different.
Well, no, it's not. It means, he's, don't forget, he's saying this to the generations who are going to be enslaved.
Yeah, no.
So he says, Hashem will remember you, and when that happens, take me out. That's the sequence. According to you, it should say it the other way around.
Right.
Okay, now, the commentary of the Kli Yakar addresses the following. The commentary of the Kli Yakar addresses So the pasuk says, "Vayikach Moshe es atzmas Yosef imo." Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Why does it have to say with him? And Moshe took the bones of Yosef. What's the imo with him? So the Kli Yakar cites the Gemara that uses the following verse from Mishlei. For what Moshe was doing. The pasuk says, Chacham lev yikach mitzvahs. The wise of heart take mitzvahs to do. This is Moshe. Shekol Yisrael this Aska Babiza. Everybody else was involved with taking the spoils of Egypt, meaning gathering all this gold and silver. V'nis Asik b'mitzvahs, and he was involved with doing mitzvahs. So Moshe is the Chacham lev. He's the smart one. He is the smart one. The smart one is going to take the mitzvahs. Moshe is the smart one. Everybody else is running after the money. He takes care of the mitzvah. So the Kli Yakar says that the Gemara is trying to explain this word imay. Why does it say, and Yosef took the bones of the bones of Yosef with him? So according to the Gemara, the Kli Yakar is saying, because coming to the following, Moshe took the bones with him. That means that this mitzvah of taking the bones will always be with him. That never goes away from you. The money you make, the money you gather, that doesn't stay with you. Eventually you don't take it with you. but a mitzvah you take with you. And that's the Chacham Levi Kach mitzvahs. You know why the Torah says with him? Because trying to bring out this, trying to bring out Moshe was the wise one for taking the mitzvahs. Because now he had it, Ima, he had it with him. What he took stayed with him. What the Jewish people took didn't stay with them. Then he continues and he says, perhaps the reason why Moshe specifically did this mitzvah now, in order to remind the Jewish people of the day of death. They shouldn't be so crazy running after the money. When they remember that when you die, don't take it with you, leave it to others. So the Kliyakar is pointing out that again, the word Ima means to say Moshe was the wise one. He did what was going to stay with him permanently, eternally. Then he says, and perhaps the reason why Moshe was doing this mitzvah now was for this idea itself, for this idea, the mitzvahs you take with you permanently, eternally, but your money doesn't come with you forever. That is exactly what Moshe tried to impress upon the Jewish people. The Jewish people are busy collecting money and silver and gold and kalim and clothing. They're busy gathering riches, which we should mention was a mitzvah because Hashem told them to do it. But at the end of the day, it's one of the easier mitzvahs to do. So they're going out and they're gathering money. And Moshe, what's he doing? He's taking care of Yosef's remains. That is Yosef trying to remind the Jewish people, we don't live forever. And therefore, take it slow there. Take it slow on the money that you're running after. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm dealing with. We don't live forever. Take it slow. So I've always had a problem. It's not a big question. It just, it always bothered me. This Gemara in Saita says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the wise of heart because he takes mitzvahs. Everybody else is running after the money and he is going for the bones. Okay? So, but as the Sefardu says, that was his responsibility, wasn't it? So what was his special thing of doing the mitzvahs? It was his responsibility to do, wasn't it?
Good job in a sense, yeah.
Wasn't it? So just from the so reading this Kliyakar, it kind of came to me when he said the Kliyakar says why lekach asak daf mitzvazu achshav, and that's why he specifically did mitzvah now. Sounds like he could have done it later. And if Hashem gives you a mitzvah now, Hashem said the mitzvah of the Jewish people was, you know, take care, to go get the stuff, right? So Moshe had that mitzvah too. Maybe in the congregation, maybe it should have been coordinating somehow or another. But Moshe had that mitzvah also. So Moshe could have done that mitzvah that, together with the Jewish people, and then afterwards gone look for the bones of Yosef. Why did he, meaning to the point, so there's something unique, not maybe about the fact that Moshe is doing it, right? But why is he doing it now? He could have done it afterwards. He could have done what everybody else was doing. He could have done the mitzvah that everybody else was doing, which was taking the money, which they were all told to do, and then he would have went ahead and taken and got the bones of Yosef. Why do you have to do it now? He says, the Kliyakar, he did it now intentionally in order to bring out this idea to the Jewish people. To bring out to the Jewish people that, you know, you got to remember, you don't take your money with you. And therefore, take it slow. And therefore, and again, Moshe's Chacham Yikach Mitzvahs, Moshe, at the end of the day, Moshe is going to do this, right? Even if we say he's doing it in order to remind the Jewish people, look, you got to slow down in life. Moshe realizes this. I mean, Moshe is the one who realizes is that, yeah, I can go do the money mitzvah, but I could also do the mitzvah with taking care of the bones of Yosef. And that is a mitzvah, and as a mitzvah, that comes with you for eternity. Moshe understands that. And therefore Moshe goes to do that mitzvah, number one, because he understands that, and number two, that's all part of the lesson he's trying to impart to the Jewish people at the time. That your money doesn't go with you, but mitzvahs do. And therefore, even now that you have a mitzvah to go get the money, just realize, take it slow. This is not the most important mitzvah for you to do. This is not the most important thing. The money, as much as the money is a mitzvah, take us slow on the money part. Because we don't live forever. The money doesn't come with us. What does come with us is our mitzvahs.
Well, but in a sense, he missed out. He was, by his position, he was supposed to do the second mitzvah. but by the word of God he was supposed to do the first one, and he did it instead, and therefore instead of doing two mitzvahs he only did one.
Okay, but that's what he had to do.
Right.
That's what he had to do, and he was rewarded for that. It does bring, it's brought down, he was rewarded for the fact that he gave up on that.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, have a good night. Again, next week there will not be a class. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Can't stand, like, you know, I work a whole day on a shiur, and then I get here, and I'm looking at a Rashi, and I realize, I missed it. I'm doing